Shalom to all. Today's office bombing say daf yotas. So we are starting about the seventh line with the word gufa. And today's office sponsor lilu nishmas mars mirim sarabas biyakav maisha her neshama should have an aliyah and lilu nishmas yirichmil mardechai ben rechayim his neshama should have an aliyah. So Mar says gufa. We had said in the brisa previously matzah get isha b'shuk if the get of a woman was found in the marketplace bisman shabal moida if the husband is moida if he agrees that he had given her the get already yachsul isha so we're going to give the get back to the woman whereas ainabal moida if the husband doesn't agree that he gave the get to the wife lo yachsir lo lizev lo lizev we're not going to give it either to the husband or to the wife. But what we see very clearly, bizman shabal moida mia yachsul isha, that if the husband does agree, we're going to give it back to the woman. But hold on one second. V'leicha shema kasav liti b'nisan v'le nasan la tishrei. Why don't we suspect that maybe he wrote this get intending to give it in Nisan, but he didn't actually give it to her until Tishrei, 6 months later. Vazal bal, now the husband went, zavin peiri minisan v'ad tishrei, and he sold peiros from her properties from Nisan until Tishrei, which he's technically allowed to do because he's still married to her. And then, umafka legita, the kasav b'nisan, she's going to take out her get that has the date Nisan written on it, basi amit v'kuchas shalikadin, and then she's going to take those peiros back that were bought by the lukuchas, and this is unlawful because the husband really wasn't allowed to sell those peiros for he didn't divorce her until Tishrei. Why would we give the get back? We should be chashish for this. So we analyze, honey chlamad amar, this would be according to the man da amar, kimishan also in lagarsha, since he decided to divorce her, shuvah in labal peiros, the husband doesn't have the right to the peiros anymore, shapir, this would be fine. Because the moment he wrote the get, which was a Nisan, he automatically loses his rights to the peiros, and even though he didn't divorce her until Tishrei, still he wasn't allowed to sell those peiros from Nisan until Tishrei, and therefore she wouldn't be allowed to take them away from the lukuchas. So there's no problem over here. El man da amar, yesh labal peiros, al chas nesina, but according to the man da amar, the husband does have the right to sell her fruit up until he actually hands her get. So Michael Amir, what can we say over here? She's going to end up taking away from the lukuchas shalai kedin. So the answer is, kiasla mitref, when she comes to take away from those lukuchas, amrina la, so they tell her, I see raya emas matagita liadach, bring us a proof when you actually receive the get. And then she's going to have to say, okay, you're right, I only got it in Tishrei, and I'm not allowed to take these pears away, so there's no chashash. Ask the Gemara, my shtami shtar chayv, why is this any different than a regular shtar chayv? Didn't we had an hour mishnah previously, matzah shtar chayv, if shtar chayv was found, im yash ben achrayas nachasim, if there's a chrayas, if there's a guarantee on it, lo yachzir, we're not going to return it. Well, Kimna, we already established what this is talking about. Kshachayv Maida, where the Chayv, the Loive, he's Maida, he admits that really he didn't pay back. And the only reason why we're not going to return it is Mishum Shemakas of Lovas Benisan Voilava Tishrei. The Chashash is that maybe this document was written in Nisan, intending that the loan's going to take place then, but it didn't actually take place until Tishrei, 6 months later, but Katarf Lukuchas Shalai Kedin, and the Baal Chayv is now going to take away from the Lukuchas of the Loive Shalai Kedin. We already said this many times before, but now here's the question. Hasam Nami, over there also, Lehader, why don't we return the Shtar to Baal Chayv, Vichyas Lamitrif, and when he comes to take away properties from the Lukuchas, Namale, why don't they tell him, I see Raya Amos Matar Shtar Chayv Liadach? Bring us a Raya when you actually got the Shtar Chayv, meaning when the loan actually took place. So the Gemara answer is, Ami, they said, Hachagabe Gedisha, over here in regards to get of a woman, Asi Lekech Vatava, the Lekech, whom she's trying to take the pears away from, is going to be Taivea her, he's going to demand from her, and Amar, he's going to say, Haida Juni Alara Bana Legita, the only reason why the Rabbanan gave her her get is Mishim Deloy to Agin Vitesev. That's just so that she shouldn't sit as an Aguna and not be able to get remarried. And so she has her get, and she's good to go, she get remarried. Ashilika Asi Lemitrev, now she's coming to take away pears from me, Tezel Vitesi Raya, Amos Matagita Liada. Why does she come and bring a Raya when she actually received her get, and that's going to prevent her from taking away from Lukucha Shalai Kedin. But Hachaga by Shtar Chayv, over here by Shtar Chayv, Lo Yasir Lekech V'tava, the Lekech is not going to demand of the Baal Chayv to prove when the loan actually took place. And why is that? Because he's going to say as follows, Midadruni Alei Rabbanu L'Shtar Chayv, since Rabbanu gave the Baal Chayv back his Shtar Chayv, Pshita, it's obvious that L'may Halchasa Druni Alei, why did they give it to him? L'mitchafu, it's obvious so that he could take away properties that were purchased by Lukuchas. Shema Mina Kam Rabbanu Milsa, it's obvious that Rabbanu were very clear about what's happening over here, and Umikmi Didi, Matashtar Liade, and must be that he had the Shtar before I bought these properties, and therefore the Lekech is never going to question when the Baal Chayv comes to him with a Shtar, and that's why we're now to return the Shtar to the Baal Chayv, even though the Chayv is Maida. And that's the difference between these two cases. And we can explain the Mishnah, Shechur Avadim V'chulu. So to our Rabbanu, we have a brass about this, Matashtar Shtar Shechur V'shuk, a Shtar that frees an Eved, was found in a Shuk, and Bizmacha Rav Maida, if the master agrees that he had already given it to him, Yachzor L'Eved, so we're going to give it back to the Eved, whereas in Rav Maida, if the master doesn't agree, Lo Yachzor L'Ezev L'Ezev, it's not going to be given to either of them. So what do we see from here? Bizmacha Rav Maida, Mia Yachzor L'Eved. Bottom line is that when the master agrees, then we're going to give it to the Eved. Ask the Gemara of Amai, why should that be? Nechosh, why don't we suspect for the following? Maybe the master wrote it in Nisan, intending to give it then, but he only gave it in Tishrei, which means that the Eved was only freed in Tishrei. And the Eved went and bought property in between Nisan and Tishrei, and those really belonged to the master because he wasn't freed yet. And the master went and sold them because he's allowed to. But then what's going to happen? The Eved's now going to take out the Shtar Shechur that was written in Nisan, seemingly showing that he was freed in Nisan, and he's going to take away these properties from the Lukuchas unlawfully because he's going to tell them, hey, they were really my properties because I was already freed Nisan, which is really not true because he was really free Tishrei. Why don't we chashish that? Now we analyze this like we did in the previous question. This is all good according to the Manda Amar. That's a schus. It's good for the the Eved to go free from his master, because then he becomes a full-fledged Yid and he's allowed to marry a Bas Chayrin, a regular Bas Yisrael. And Ucha Abayis also goes like Abayi, the Amr Edev Chasum of Zachin Loi, who holds at the moment Edim sign in the Shtar, that automatically creates a Zchiyah for the person who's written in the Shtar. Shapir says this is all good, even though he didn't actually receive a Shtar Shechar until Tishrei, since it was written in Nisan, as it was chus for him to be freed, that means it's actually considered like he's freed Nisan time, and that means in retrospect, the master was not allowed to sell these properties, and therefore the Eved is allowed to take the money from the Lekuchas. So we don't have an issue over here. Alamada Amr, Chayvul Eved Shiatim Tachas Yad Rabbi Lecheiros. According to Manda Amar, that's actually not good for an Eved to go free, because he prefers to be Hefker, he's still not Jewish, and he's allowed to marry a Shevcha, and we know that Ein Chavin La'adam El Bafanov, Michael Lemer, what are we able to say over here? He's going to end up taking away Shaloi Kedin. So Gemara answers like it did before, the Chiyas Lemetrif, when this Eved comes to take away these properties, Amrin Alei, so we tell him, I see right, Emas Mata Shechur Liadach. You have to bring a proof when you actually receive a Shtar Shechur, and then obviously we're not going to have an issue, because he's only going to be able to prove that he got it in Tishrei, and these properties were sold beforehand. I continue explaining the Mishnah, Datiki Matana Vachulu. So these two things, Datiki and Matana, are stars that are gifting property to somebody else. A Daitiki is a Shtar of a Shchiv Meira, a person who's deathly ill, he writes over the Shtar that he's gifting property to somebody else, and a Matana is otherwise known as a Matnas Bari, a healthy person giving something to somebody else. So now the Gemara tells us, Tana Banu, we have a Raisa, Izui Daitiki, what is a Daitiki? Meaning, what's in the word of a Daitiki? What does it mean? Da Tehei Lemekim Valiyos, which literally means this shall be valid and enduring, She'im Mace, that if the Shchiv Meira dies, Nechasiv Laplaini, his Nechasim go to the other guy. And the Chiddush of a Matna Shchiv Meira is as follows. In order for one to grant something to somebody else, a kinyan usually has to take place. However, by Matna Shchiv Meira, there's no necessity for a kinyan, because Divrei Shchiv Meira Kechsuvim Mesurin Dami, the words of a Shchiv Meira is as if it was written and given over already, so there's no necessity for a kinyan. Now the Brass continues, Matana, what's a regular Matana? Kol Shekasev Bai, if it's written in the Shtar, Mehayom Ulachar Misa, then this property is for you after I die. The Gemara asks, Alma, does this mean that we learn from the Braisa, Iksiva Mehayom Ulachar Misa, Hudakani, Viloi Loikani, that the only way a person can give a Matana to somebody else is if he writes this in the Shtar, that it's yours from today and after I die, and if he doesn't write that, it's not a valid Matana? That doesn't make sense. We know that in any given day of the year, a person is allowed to give a Matana to somebody else, and it could be Chal, it could be effective right away. It's not only effective after Misa, so what's the Braisa saying? So Rabbi Abai answers, Hachakamar, this is what the Braisa is telling us. Ezui Matnas Bari Shehi Kematna Shchiv Meira, what's the type of Matana that a healthy person gives, which is very similar to the Matana of Meshchiv Meira, Deloi Kani El Lachar Misa, that the recipient isn't kainet it until after the person dies, Kol Shekasev Bo Mehayom Lachar Misa, that's only if the Matana has written in it from today after I die. Because that's what a Matna Shchiv Meira is, it's only Chal after the person actually dies. Now we analyze the Mishnah, Tama Dolemer Tanu. The reason why we're not going to give back the Shtar that was found is because the person didn't say to give it. Ha'amar Tanu, Nisnin. But that's Mashma, that if the person said, yeah, give it to the fellow who's written in the Shtar, that we will give it. But here's the problem, Ramin will ask you Stira. The Brassa tells us as follows, Matza Daitakais, Aputikais, Umatanois, if a Daitaki and Aputiki or a Matana is found, Afal Pishashnei Amaiden, even though both of them agree, Loyach or Loyozev Loyozev, don't give it to either of them. So the Brassa tells us very clearly not to give it back, where it's Mashma from Mishnah that we could give it back. Amar Vavar Mamal, the answer is like Hashem, there's no problem. Yotesam Bez on top, Hababari, Vahabashchiv Meira. When we say not to give it back, that's talking about a Bari, a healthy person, and when we say that we could give it back, that's talking about a Shchiv Meira. Now the Gemara continues explaining this, but something interesting to note over here is that both the Ritva and the Ramban write that from here until the words Maskev Rav Zvid is not the original Gemara. Rather, it's an addition of Rav Yehudai Gaon, and it's actually evidenced by the fact that it's very wordy, which is quite unusual for Gemara. So Gemara continues explaining Masin Sigtani Ha'amr Tanu Naisnin, at which we inferred from our Mishnah that if the person had said to give it back, we will give it back. B'Shchiv Meira, that's talking about a Shchiv Meira. Debar Mahadarhu, he could be Chayzer from his original gift. Because what's all Chashash in the first place? Why not to give the Shtar back? Damrinon, we would say that Michael Meimer, what are we able to say? Perhaps the fellow intended to give the gift to this person who's written in the Shtar that we're holding right now, and he changed his mind and didn't end up giving it to him, and then he decided to give it to somebody else, and he actually gave it to the other person. However, now he's being chayzer from the guy whom he actually gave the gift to, and if we're going to give the Shtar that we're holding right now back to the person who's written in it, so he's going to end up taking those properties, and that's shaloi kedin because the gift was already given to somebody else. Well, that's not necessarily an issue, and why not? Because even matnas bari yavale, if we're talking about the fellow giving it over as a bari, he was healthy. So let's say Pseida, the second fellow, who's the one that really received the shtar, gifting this to him, he's not going to lose out. Dichinaf katarti, because when we take out both of these shtaras, the one that we're holding right now in our hand, and the later one that was given to the second fellow, which again, that was the real gift, asarsa zachi, the second one is zaychenet, dahadar beima kamaisa, because the one who's giving the gift was chayzer from the original one. And how do we know that? Because the date on the second shtar is later than the date of the first shtar. So the second guy, the one who really received the matana, is not going to end up losing out if we give the shtar back that we're holding on to right now. And even if we're talking about a matna shchiv meira, let's say that we're not going to have a loss either. The basarsa zachi, because the later one is going to be zayche. We'll explain what this means in a moment. The gahadar be mekamaisa, because he was chayzer from the first one. Now it's important to know that when we're talking about a matna shchiv meira, the basarsa, the later one, is referring to the original guy. Meaning, imagine the situation: the shchiv meira intended to give this as a gift to Reuven, and so he wrote the shtar. But then he decided not to give it to him, and he wrote a different shtar for Shimon, and that was given to Shimon. But a shchiv meira is able to be chayzer from that gift that he gave to Shimon, and he actually could decide to gift these properties, and therefore if this shtar that we're holding on to right now is a matna shchiv meira, even if the shchiv meira had subsequently given it to Shimon, it doesn't make a difference. He could be chayzer from that and now give it to Reuven, so no one's going to lose out. And that's the explanation of the diak of our Mishnah, that if he says to give it, so we'll give it, because no one's going to lose out over here. However, when it says in the Braisa that even if both of them admit we're not going to give it back, not to either of them, what's that referring to? Babari, with a gift of a healthy person, the lav bar mahadaru, he's not allowed to be chazer from his gift. The amrina that we say, what's the issue over here? Maybe the gifter intended to give it to Reuven originally. The imlchani changed his mind and he didn't end up giving it to Reuven. And he ended up writing this gift to somebody else, to Shimon. And he gave it to Shimon. And now the gifter is being chazer from the fellow whom he gave it to, meaning he decided, I don't really want to give it to Shimon. But Vasavar, he tells himself, I'm not allowed to be chazer from it. I already gave this as a gift to Shimon. So how can I get out of this? How can I manage to be dishonest and give it to Reuven instead? I'm going to tell them that I really gave it to the other guy. I really gave it to Reuven first. And they're going to return the shtar to him. Because now when he takes out his shtar, which has a date written on it before Shimon's shtar, so Reuven is going to be zaycha in it. And that's the best way for me to be chazer for my gift that I gave to Shimon, even though halachically I'm not really allowed to do that. And therefore, since we're chazer for this, we tell this fellow, and in regards to us, we're not going to give this document back to this fellow, back to Reuven, even though you say that we should give it to Reuven. Why is that? Because we realize you might be pulling a shtick. Perhaps you wrote the shtar, you didn't actually give it to him, and you gave it to somebody else, and now you want to be chayzer from the fact that you gave it to that other guy, Shimon. And if you really didn't actually give it to anybody else, and you just want to give these properties to this fellow, to Reuven, whom you're claiming you really gave them to all along, so write for him a different shtar right now, and give it to him right now. Because if you indeed gave it to somebody else, if you did give it to Shimon, and you really want to try to give it to Reuven, so Shimon's not going to lose out, because his shtar comes first. And this is a very lengthy explanation of why the Mishnah is talking about matna shchiv meira, and why the Braisa is talking about matna zbari. In short, with matna shchiv meira, we don't have to be chayshesh that there's any shtick being pulled, because the bottom line is, the last person that the shchiv meira decides to give his stuff to, that's the one who's zaycha in it. But in regards to matna zbari, the first one to have actually received the shtar, he's the one that's zaycha in it, and therefore we're not going to give the shtar back when we're talking about a matna zbari, because maybe he's pulling some sort of shtick, he's trying to take away the gift that he had given to Shimon, and now granted to Reuven. Rav Zeid asks the following question. Both the Braisa and the Mishnah mention the word daitaki, which is talking about a matna shchiv meira. So how could you say that the Mishnah is talking about matna shchiv meira and the Braisa is talking about matna zbari? The Braisa also mentions matna shchiv meira. Rav Zeid answers differently. Hava shchiv meira. Both the Braisa and Mishnah are talking about a matna shchiv meira. V'loy kashin, there's still no steer between them. Habe v'habe brei. One's talking about the fellow himself, and one's talking about his son. Masnisin the ka'amar tenu naisnin b'didei. Our Mishnah was mashma that if he says to give it to the fellow who's written in the shtar, we'll give it. That's talking about the shchiv meira himself, the bar mahadru, because he could be chayzer from his original gift even if he gave it to somebody else. Damrina that will say inam yavel in a shachrina. Even if he did gift it to somebody else originally, less vapseda, there's still no loss. The kamu basra basra zachi. Because as we explained previously, when we're dealing with a shchiv meira, if he gave it to one person, that's the kama, and then he gave it to another person, that's the basra is zaycha, the hader bemi kama, because that means he's being chayzer from his gift to the original person, and now he's giving it to a new one, and he's allowed to do that. And that's with the shchiv meira himself. However, kiktani b'braisa, alfa pi sheshnei amaydim loyachzer lozev lozev, when the braisa says that even if both of them are amayde, we're not going to give it back to either of them, that's b'brei, the son of the shchiv meira. Damrina, we say, perhaps the father had written to give it over to this person, and he changed his mind, and he didn't give it to him. And after the father had died, the son had written this property over as a gift to a different person, and he gave it to him. And now the son is being chazer from this. He regrets having given this property to Shimon. And Savri tells himself, I can't be chazer from this because I already gave it as a gift to Shimon. So therefore, I'm just going to tell them that really my father had given this property originally to Reuven, and therefore I wasn't allowed to give it to Shimon. And also like Save, and then they're going to give him his document. The document that we're holding right now is going to be returned to Reuven. Then Reuven is going to go to Shimon and take the property back. Because he's going to be Zaycha, because his shtar is the earlier date. And then we're going to split it together. Meaning once Reuven takes his property away, he's going to split it with me 50-50, and that way I'm going to be able to get it taken away from Shimon. So Helka Chamrinalei, therefore we tell him, Anan, we're not going to give this document to him. Perhaps the father had written it, but he didn't end up giving it over. And you gave this property to somebody else, to Shimon. You're trying to be chazer on that, and you're trying to pull shtick with us. El, rather, we tell this fellow, if what you're saying is really true, that your father had given this property to Reuven, and therefore you weren't allowed to give it to Shimon, so fine, you write right now should write a new shtar for Reuven, giving this property to him. If your father really hadn't given it to Reuven, and you indeed had given it to Shimon, less babseta, there's not going to be any loss to Shimon. Because when we have a common basra, the original one and a later one, and we're talking about a regular matana, not a matna shchiv meira, so the one that has the earlier dated shtar, he's going to win. And that means in this situation, if you indeed had given it away, Shimon's going to have the earlier dated shtar and not Reuven, because we have to write a brand new shtar for Reuven. And therefore, we're not going to give his original shtar back to Reuven. And then Gemara explains the last part of the Mishnah where we said shiver if a receipt was found, so we're not going to return it. So now we have a brisa, Tana Rabbanan, and the brisa tells us, mata shiver if a receipt was found, and this is talking about the receipt of a prepaid ksuba. Usually a woman only gets paid her ksuba after her husband dies or divorces her. However, if he decides to pay her while he's still alive, before he divorces her, she would have to write him a receipt that I got my ksuba, and he would hold on to that as proof that he paid it. So let's say we found the shiver. If she admits, yachshel lebalso, we're going to give it back to the husband. If she never admits, if she doesn't agree that she got her ksuba, we're not going to give it back to either one. Now, what do we see from here very clearly? When she does agree, we are going to give it back to the baal. But hold on a second, we should have a chashash. We should suspect that maybe she wrote this receipt intending that she's going to give it in Nisan, but she didn't actually hand the receipt to her husband until Tishrei. And then she went and she sold her ksuba b'tavis hana from Nisan until Tishrei. And selling a ksuba for tavis hana means that the deal is, if she dies, the ksuba is kept by the husband and the investment was a dud. But if the husband dies or divorces her, then her ksuba goes to the guy who bought it, which is quite a solid investment. So we should have a chashash that she sold her ksuba b'tavis hana to a different fellow from Nisan until Tishrei. And then the kasa b'nisan vasal mitzvah l'kucha shalai kedin. The husband is now going to take out this shiver that shows that he already had paid the ksuba in Nisan and that the wife wasn't allowed to sell it, and he's going to be tired from l'kucha shalai kedin. Now he's not really taking anything away from l'kuchas. It just means that he's going to win in an argument in Bezdin when the fellow who invested in her ksuba comes to collect it. The husband is going to say, look, you bought this after Nisan, but I had already paid her ksuba in Nisan, so you weren't allowed to buy it in the first place, and you lost out on your money, or at least you have to take my wife to Bezdin, and it's not my issue. I get to keep the ksuba. I don't have to pay it to you. And again, that's shalai kedin, because the shiver was only given in Tishrei and not in Nisan. Why aren't we chayshish for that? So Rava answers, chafam alaf on the top. It must be, since we're not chayshish for that, shmami, no, we learn from here that isla de Shmuel, we hold of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, what does Shmuel say? Hamak shtar chayv l'chaveroi, if a person sells a shtar chayv to his friend, v'chazer machalai, and then he was meichalit, machal, it's 100% machal, v'afil yarsh meichal, even the yarsh could be meichal. For example, let's say Reuven has a shtar chayv that says that Shimon owes him $100, so Reuven could sell that shtar chayv to Levi, and Levi has the rights to collect it, and then right after Reuven sells it, he could be meichal on the chayv and say, Shimon, you don't owe me any money, and even Reuven's yarsh could do that. And so it's the same thing with the woman. She's able to sell her ksuba b'tayvas hana, and then right afterwards, she could be meichel her ksuba to her husband and say, forget about it. Even if you divorce me, you don't have to pay me. And that effectively means that the guy who bought her ksuba b'tayvas hana loses out. And since she's able to do that, we don't have to have these sort of chashashas, the demokasu b'nisan, v'leinasana tishrei, because she could have been meichel it anyway. Whereas Abayam, Rabbi says, afilu tam alesa le dishmul. Even if you want to say that we don't hold a shmul, still, the reason why we're not chashash for this is because, hachamai skin, what are we talking about over here? Bishishtar ksuba yats mitachas yada is where she's holding on to the ksuba. And if she had sold her ksuba b'tayvas hana, she wouldn't be holding on to the ksuba, the guy who bought it would have it. And so therefore wouldn't have this chashash. Now for Rava, Amar Rava would respond by saying, if you want to say that we don't have this chashash because she has her ksuba, we would really be chashash that there's two ksubas, and she has one, and the guy who bought it b'tevas hana has the other. So that's not a valid answer. Vabayam, Rabbi would respond to that. First of all, we're not chashash for two ksubas. Furthermore, there's another totally different reason why we're not chashash for this. Shaiver is manai tarif. One can take away from lekuchas using a shaiver based off of the date that's written on the shaiver, even though the shaiver wasn't given until a later date. In other words, like a proposed chashash over here, that maybe she wrote in Nisan but didn't give it until Tishrei, it doesn't make a difference if she didn't give it until Tishrei. Since the date that was written on it was Nisan, the husband could be tarif ready from that zman. That's what the words shaiver zman et tarif mean. And Abaye l'tamei, Abaye l'shitasai, to Amar Abaye, Abaye has told us many times before already, Eidim v'chasum of zachin loy, Eidim are ready mizake this thing for the person written the shtar with their signatures, and therefore the moment she wrote the shaiver, it's automatically zaycha for the baal then, even though she only gave it 6 months later. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with a brand new Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.